Sha'ar tonight is the Sha'ar Lashon Hara. It is definitely much better to not be on Zoom, to be in person, but tonight is the Sha'ar Lashon Hara. What I like about the Sha'ar Lashon Hara here in the Orach HaTzaddikim is, as we said before, the Orach HaTzaddikim really culls from two major works that came before him, the Chovos HaLevavos and the Sha'ar Yeshuva Rabbeinu Yonah. Here, the Sha'ar Lashon Hara is kind of like all the greatest hits on Lashon Hara. All the famous Gemaras, Mamari Chazal, stories, things like that, are all pulled together. So if one learns the Sha'ar Lashon Hara in the Orach HaTzaddikim, you're really going to get all of the big Hashkafic ideas, all the famous stories and things like that. So let's begin. He begins by telling us that Lashon Hara means to speak bad about somebody. And, as we know, even though it is true, right? This is a common refrain. It's not Lashon Hara because, why? Because it's not true. No. It is Lashon Hara because it's true. That's what Lashon Hara means. It's telling a lie about somebody is what we call being motzi shemra. That's something else. To go and to say that Chaim has bad handwriting, when in fact he does have bad handwriting, that is Lashon Hara. To go and say that Chaim has bad handwriting when Chaim doesn't have bad handwriting, that's motzi shemra. He's going to group them all together tonight under Lashon Hara, language that is bad. So he begins with the Gemara in Erchin. The Gemara in Erchin says that speaking Lashon Hara is as bad as being kofir bi'ikr, denying Hashem. Denying Hashem, that's what speaking Lashon Hara is about. Why, he says, because when you speak Lashon Hara, you're only hurting other people and no gain for yourself. And it can't be that you're sinning for some sort of gain. Similar to denying Hashem, if a person sins in life because they have such a desire, they can't control themselves, they want to eat something, they can't control the desire to go do something, that doesn't mean they deny Hashem, that just means they have a type, they have desire for something. But a person who does an Avera for no physical pleasure, for no gain for themselves, that's just pushing Hashem away. Because what do they gain by simply slapping a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the face? So the Orach HaTzaddikim says, if a person speaks Lashon Hara, it's like denying Hashem. You're being kofir b'ikr. Because what do you gain? It's simply a slap in the face to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the Baalei Machshava, the Baalei Mussar, asks a question in Orach HaTzaddikim, which is, what are you talking about? Everybody knows that geshmak Lashon Hara is delicious. Come on, everybody knows that to say some juicy piece of gossip is hana. Of course you enjoy it very much. So what does he mean? So we're going to quote from two people. Rabbi Yecheskel Levenstein. Rabbi Yecheskel Levenstein was the Mashkiach of the Mir, and then the Mashkiach in Panovich in Bnei Brak. So he says that there's no natural pleasure. Naturally, a person doesn't enjoy gossiping about somebody else. It only becomes a pleasure when you get into the habit of it. When you habituate yourself to going after Lashon Hara again and again and again, then it's geschmack, then it's enjoyable. But on its own, naturally a person doesn't like it. Okay, we could debate that back and forth, whether that's the case. But the Sifsei Chaim, Rav Chaim Friedlander, quotes from his Rebbe. His Rebbe was Rav Dessler. So the Sifsei Chaim quotes Rav Dessler, who says that speaking Lashon Hara actually does not give you hana. It actually doesn't give you pleasure. Rather, it's the putting down of others and revealing their faults that makes you feel better about yourself. And the person continued to speak Lashon Hara because you think that you're without fault, right? When you say something, when you say that, we're going to use this example a number of times tonight, just because it's safe and it's clean and it's not going to offend anybody. If you say that Chaim has messy handwriting, so then that makes you feel good about yourself because Chaim has messy handwriting. I'm pointing out his faults. That makes me feel better about me as a person. But the issue is your view of reality is distorted because you think that only Chaim has problems. That's not true. You have problems as well. You also have faults. You also make mistakes. So Rav Dessler said, the person who thinks he's getting pleasure, you think that Lashon Hara is geshmak. You think that it makes you feel good. But deep down inside, that's not really feeling good. You're just destroying another person without taking an honest look at yourself. And therefore, says Rav Dessler, this is what the Orach HaTzaddikim means, that you don't get any pleasure from Lashon Hara. You don't get any real pleasure. It's fake. It's a mirage of what pleasure is supposed to be. Because your pleasure is simply from destroying another person because you don't really understand yourself. If you really understood yourself and you really understood your faults and your shortcomings, then why would you put another person down? And that's how he explains this. So the Gemara continues that it is bad as shvichas damim, gilui arayos, and avodah zarah. that speaking Lashon Hara is as bad as murder, as having inappropriate relationships, and as worshipping idolatry, all three put together. That's what the Gemara says. So the Orcha Sadikim says, Lashon Hara must be pretty bad, because we know that those three cardinal sins are Yaharig V'Al Yavor. If somebody comes to you with a gun and says, you know, have this ham sandwich, so the answer is, you know, pass the mayo, I'm sure it'll be delicious. If somebody comes to you and says, worship Avodah Zarah, kill another person, so a person has to give their life, Yaharig V'Al Yavor, kill the person and don't give up your, and give up your life. How can that be the case that gossiping another person is as bad as those three things? So Yoruch HaSadikim says that, first of all, this is speaking about someone who violates the three cardinal sins once. One time. Someone who speaks Lashon Hara is not as bad as somebody who leaves Judaism consistently and violates Avodah Zarah, Shvichas Damim, and Gilui Arayos. That's not what we're talking. We're not talking about a person who is a murderous mobster who does terrible things all the time. He's worse than you who speak Lashon Hara. That's clear. What we're talking about is the one-time event of somebody who does one of those things is as bad as speaking Lashon Hara. Nevertheless, it's very hard for someone who speaks Lashon Hara all the time to do tshuva. They do it constantly. They're not aware they're doing something wrong because it's their habit. You don't understand how bad Lashon Hara is. And you can't possibly find and ask forgiveness from all the people you spoke Lashon Hara about and you harmed. And even if you know the person that you spoke Lashon Hara about, it's often embarrassing to go to them and to admit that you spoke Lashon Hara about them. This is the famous debate between Rav Yisrael Salanter and the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim was younger than Rav Yisrael Salanter, as you know from modern Jewish history this year. So the Rav Yisrael Salanter founded the Musar movement. He lived in the 1800s. The Chafetz Chaim lived into the 1900s. So when the young Chafetz Chaim, the young Rav Yisrael Meir HaKohen, came to the elder statesman, Rav Yisrael Salanter, asking for a letter of approbation, a haskama, a letter of recommendation for his work, the Chafetz Chaim. So Yisrael Salanter read through the book, and he said, this is beautiful, amazing, this is going to change the world, but I can't write you a letter. So the Chafetz Chaim said, why not? You just said the book's great, why can't you allow it? He said, because in your book, you write that if a person wants to do tshuva, wants to repent for speaking Lashon Hara, you have to go to the person you spoke Lashon Hara about, and you have to tell them that you spoke Lashon Hara about them, and then ask for forgiveness. So Yisrael Salanter said to the Chafetz Chaim, how could it be that you're going to clean your slate? You're going to make yourself feel better and do tshuva by making this person feel like garbage, right? You said about this person that they're a terrible cook, and now you feel bad about it. But they don't know that you said a terrible cook. So you're going to call them up Erev Yom Kippur and say, you know, excuse me, I'm very sorry, but I told, you know, at least half of your friends, if not all of them, that you're a terrible cook. Can you please forgive me? So how do you think they're going to go into Yom Kippur now? How do you think they're going to go into Yom Kippur? They're going to hate you. They're going to hate because they think everybody's a terrible cook. So Yisrael Salanter says to the Chafetz Chaim, how is that tshuva? How is that tshuva by making that other person feel like garbage? So he said, I don't agree with that. So the Chafetz Chaim said, but that's what Rabbeinu Yonah says in Shari Tshuva. Rabbeinu Yonah says you have to do this. And this is who the Orchos Tzadikim is quoting from. So Yisrael Salanter says, okay, I don't think it's right. And he never wrote the letter. No letter. And he never got it. And that's where the debate ended. But the Orchos Tzadikim says, you're going to have to ask tshuva from all these people. It's so hard to do tshuva for speaking Lashon Hara. Sometimes he says, Lashon Hara is about a family. And you ruin the reputation of the family. And it doesn't just hurt the family now. It goes on for generations. You spoke Lashon Hara about their family. The family gets a reputation for all time. And it can't be rectified. And because of all these difficulties, says the Orcha Tzadikim, because of all these problems, what happens is that's why it's on the level of the three sins. Because the damage from Lashon Hara is so horrific. It is so almost incurable that it's almost on the levels of the three cardinal sins. It's on that high level. Yeah.
What is the positive to asking for forgiveness from the person that might...
How do you do tshuva for Lashon Hara?
No, I'm saying, like, why going to the person? What's the pro of that?
Why does Rabbeinu Yonah say that's what you have to do? Because in order to do tshuva for something, you need to... You did an aveira that was bein adam l'chaveiro. So if I hurt this person from one person to another, I need to rectify one person to another. The debate is, well, how do you do that? You can do that either by talking to the person and say, I apologize, I was a jerk, even though you didn't know it. Or you can go to the, or you can simply speak Lashon Tov. You try to go and try to pick up all the terrible things you did and try to fix them by spreading positive things. Then he makes the following point. He says, don't think that Torah protects Baal Lashon Hara. Just because you learn a lot of Torah and you go to a lot of Shirim and you read a lot of books, it doesn't protect you from speaking Lashon Hara. His example is Doeg. Doeg was the advisor of Shaul HaMelech. And Doeg spoke terrible Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara so bad that his Lashon Hara led to the destruction of wiping out an entire city of Kohanim. An entire city of Kohanim was wiped out. Because Doeg, he was a big Talmud Chacham, he was the head of the Sanhedrin. And he spoke Lashon Hara, and this entire city of Kohanim was wiped out because of his Lashon Hara. And he was punished terribly for it. So don't think because this person's a big Talmud Chacham, or this person is a big rabbi or a big rebbetzin, therefore, it's okay if they trash another person, and that makes it okay because, you know, they learn a lot of Torah. There's no excuse. Even Doeg, who was on the Sanhedrin, was punished for speaking Lashon Hara. The Orach HaTzaddikim then moves on to discuss six categories of Baalei Lashon Hara, six types of people who speak Lashon Hara. He says the first category is somebody who says something negative about a person when it's not correct. This is what we call motzi shemra, to spread lies about another person. You have to be so careful not to accept slander from other people because there's a chance that it's certainly not correct. You can't simply accept negative information from people. You can't. You have to assume that it's not true unless, you know, we're not going to get into the details of Hilchos Lashon Hara tonight, but a person should try to avoid accepting negative information because you don't know if it's true.
Negative or not true?
Well, you don't know if it's true. That's the problem. Somebody says Chaim has messy handwriting. Well, then, how are you supposed to know if that's true? You can't. It's hard for you to verify it. So you assume that it's not true because maybe they're just saying not nice things about Chaim. Number two, someone who speaks Lashon Hara, that's true. This includes, in Lashon Hara, he includes Ona'as Dvarim. Ona'as Dvarim is, we've discussed this in the past, is saying not nice things to people. Hurtful things. Just being mean is a violation of Ona'as Dvarim. Reminding somebody of past sins. Ah, do you remember what you were like in ninth grade? Ah, you were, you know, such and such in ninth grade. You said this thing over there, and you remember what you were like as a student. So that's totally unacceptable. That's Ona'as Dvarim, to remind somebody of the way they were in the past. Three, if you remind someone of their aver in public, so not only is it os dvarim, but it's malbim pei chaver barabim. You're embarrassing somebody in public. And such a person is ein lo chelek li olam haba. They have no portion in olam haba. So, so careful to not embarrass somebody in public. Four, if you speak about a person's averus in public, but the person you're speaking about is not there. So you're not embarrassing them in public, but they're not there. So such a person, says Yeruch HaSadikim, is Eino Mekabel Pnei Shechina. Eino Mekabel Pnei Shechina. It means they will not greet the Shechina. They will not greet Hashem's presence. Do I know what that means 100%? No. But it sounds bad. I'll tell you that. It definitely does not sound good to not be able to greet Hashem's presence. Five, speaking about the Averus of someone after they did Tshuva, which is what we referenced before. Once a person does Tshuva, their averus are no longer there. The Gemara in Yuma says that if a person does tshuva out of fear of Hashem, out of yira, a person does tshuva because they don't want to get a patch from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so then it turns their avera as if they did it to the avera by accident, right? So a person on purpose, went and they scratched your car. They didn't like what you said about them, so they took their key and they keyed your car, and then they did tshuva. But they did tshuva not out of avas Hashem. They did tshuva out of yiras Hashem. They were afraid that, you know, they didn't want to get a bad Yom Kippur this year. So what does Hashem change their accounting to in Shemayim? Hashem goes into the Excel sheet and he says, no. It's not like they took their key and they keyed your car on purpose. They did it by accident. He changes it in Shemayim to be as if that they kind of like skidded against the car by accident, and that's how it got. That's why Hashem downgrades the Avera. But if a person does tshuva me'ava, if a person does tshuva out of love of Hashem, because he wants to become closer to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he wants to develop a finer and more sophisticated relationship with Hashem, then that takes that avera and it turns it into a mitzvah. The Chassam Sofer says, a person who does tshuva out of ahava, if they ate a piece of food that was not kosher, they will write it in Shemayim as if they ate from the Korban Pesach. That's how far it will move it. Okay? So Tshuva Me'ava takes into a totally different realm. So if I go and say something negative about what a person did in the past after they did Tshuva, so that's 100% incorrect. Because right now in Shemayim, there's no Aveira. There's just a mitzvah. And therefore, it's totally, totally inappropriate. You're shaming a person with Averos that are now Zechuyos. It's just not true anymore. The person's a different human being. Now, within this category of speaking about someone's past Averos, he goes on to say that this will then lead to Lifnei Iver. Because when I shame the person for having been improved, right? I'm sure we can all relate on some level. You know somebody, a friend, maybe even yourself. You've grown, you've improved over time. You're different, you weren't the way you were before. And then somebody comes and reminds you, do you remember we were like on the last 2 summers ago, we did this thing, and do you remember what you said over there? And now, that's embarrassing. Why would I want to grow? Why do I want to improve? People remember what I did in the past. You're going to stunt that person's growth. You're going to cause them to revert back to where they were, because they're going to say, nobody appreciates me for who I am now. Nobody's accepting me for what I've grown. And that's going to stunt their growth. In addition, when other people hear that you were made fun of for what you did before, and now you're a different person after the tshuva, they're going to be discouraged to become to do tshuva, right? The person goes to Eretz Yisrael, and they turn themselves around, they become a different person, they grow, and they're so excited about their growth, and they come back to America, and this one says, you know, this one's, this parent says this, or this one's uncle says this, you know, remember we used to do this, we used to do these things over there, and I remember when you said this thing, and then everyone's standing around, and people say, like, well, why would I want to grow? Why would I want to improve myself? Because when I improve myself, people seemingly just remind you of the things you did in the past that weren't so great. And then you're going to cause other people to not want to do tshuva. You're going to cause other people to not want to improve themselves. In general, we should always be dan lekaf sechus and assume that if we see someone doing an aveira, that they've done tshuva after the fact. And these are the rules of being dan lekaf sechus, to judge somebody favorably. If the person is a tzaddik, a known tzaddik, and you go and see them do something that is questionable, then the halach is you must judge them to be a tzaddik in the situation that they're doing something right. You have to. It's a chova. You must. If the person is a rasha, a known sinner, and you see them doing something that's not so good, then you must assume that they're doing something not good over here as well. But if the person's in the middle, not a tzaddik and not a rasha, so then if you see them doing, let's use the classic example of going to the McDonald's, right? So you see them walking to the McDonald's, so then you must assume, you don't have to assume, but it's a mitzvah to be down the kav sechus, to judge them in a way that they're doing something positive at the end of the day. Reb Chaim Shlomitz has a beautiful idea where he says, what's the connection between down the kav sechus and speaking Lashon Hara? What's the connection between judging people favorably and also speaking Lashon Hara? He asks an amazing question. We know that the Meraglim went to Eretz Yisrael and they spied for how many days? How many days?
40.
For 40 days. They spied for 40 days. And then Hashem said, because you sinned for 40 days, right? So you're going to be punished in the desert for how many years?
40.
For 40 years. So Chaim Shlevis asked an obvious question. But they only really sinned for one day. They spoke Lashon Hara one day. They didn't speak Lashon Hara 40 days by Eretz Yisrael. They spoke Lashon Hara one day by Eretz Yisrael. So Chaim Shlevis says, but they weren't down the kaf sechus Eretz Yisrael for 40 days. They traipsed all around Eretz Yisrael. They toured all around Eretz Yisrael, saw all the things with a negative eye, with a terrible negative lens about Eretz Yisrael wasn't beautiful, and Eretz Yisrael was bad for the Jewish people. So every single one of those 40 days, they were not down the kaf sechus on the kedusha, the holiness, the specialness of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, because they weren't down the kaf sechus for all 40 days, that led them to speak Lashon Hara on the last day, and they were punished 40 years for everything that led up to that point. So if you want to not speak Lashon Hara, a good thing, and we'll talk about this later on in a moment, that is to be dan lekaf sechus, to view people in a favorable way. Yeah.
So basically, you speak Lashon Hara because you're not judging someone favorably.
Correct. Yeah. We're gonna develop that idea in a very important mashal in a moment. The sixth category of speaking Lashon Hara is a very specific one. And I'll be honest with you. I didn't really understand it until I read a book recently. The sixth category is speaking Lashon Hara about the Gabbai Tzedaka. It's a very specific thing. To speak Lashon Hara about the person who collects Tzedaka and distributes Tzedaka in the community. Because if you speak Lashon Hara about the Gabbai Tzedaka, who is honest as Yir Shemayim, and you say that the Gabbai Tzedaka is dishonest, they're showing favoritism, they're giving more money to this family, not to that family, the Gabbai Tzedaka is taking money for himself, he's not being honest in these areas, it's going to cause honest people to step down from that position. And it's going to cause dishonest people to want to fill that position. You're going to have people who are not so careful with money, not so honest about money, who are going to now want to be in charge of money that's supposed to go to innocent people, and they're going to take advantage. And it's going to harm those people who give the tzedakah, because the money they want to give is not going to go to the right places. And it's going to harm the poor people, the institutions who are not going to get the money. Now, to be honest, when I've learned this piece in the Aruch HaTzaddikim before, I did not understand what the big deal was. It's a very specific thing. What about speaking Lashon Hara about chefs? What about speaking Lashon Hara about the rabbi? What about speaking Lashon Hara about the chazan? Why is the Gabbai Tzedaka get so much? So I was reading a book by a professor from Eretz Yisrael. Her name is Professor Deborah Kaplan. And the book is called The Patrons and the Poor. And it's all about the history of tzedakah in the early modern period, the 1500s, the 1600s, the 1700s. And she did tremendous research going back to communal logs and records and how all these things fit together. The history of giving tzedakah in these communities. The Gabbai tzedakah was a hugely important position. In our communities, it's not the same as it once anymore. Usually people kind of give tzedakah on their own. If a person has the means, they give tzedakah whatever they can. If a person doesn't, they don't. But in the olden days, for those 300, 400 years, the Gabbai tzedakah was a hugely important position. It was in charge of a huge amount of money, and every single penny was documented and kept carefully, and it was considered a great position of kavod, and it had a big impact on the community of how people received money and gave away money. So I think that really speaks over here that we have to be careful in the general... In the general term here, what the Aruch HaTzaddikim is saying is to be careful about speaking Lashon Hara about people who are being osek b'tzarchei tzibur, who are working on behalf of the klal. Because if you work on behalf of the community and you want to do something to help the community, and people inevitably are going to say bad things about your behind your back, you're going to prevent good people from working on the community. Nobody wants to, you know, run the dinner and to chair the dinner. And nobody wants to be the president of the school. Nobody wants to be the president of the shul. Why? Because they know when they get that position, they're going to knock them that this wasn't done well enough, and they're going to speak behind their back that they didn't do this job enough, and the air conditioning in the shul is too hot, is too cold, and the heating is not good enough, and how come they didn't do this, and there were masks in the shul, and there were masks in the shul. And whoever, when you begin to be osek b'tzarchei tzibur, to work on behalf of the community, when you sit at the Shabbos table and speak Lashon Hara about those people who are trying to act on behalf of the community, what you're essentially doing is to make sure that good people who want to help out the community are not going to take those positions, because they hear what people say about people in those leadership positions, and people who are not so honest or not so good are going to want to take those positions and use it to their advantage. So you have to be so careful about speaking Lashon Hara about people who are acting on behalf of the community, because it sets a bad tone. What is the damage of Lashon Hara? So the Gemara in Erechin famously says that when you speak Lashon Hara, three people are killed. Three people are damaged. The speaker, the listener, and the subject. And the one who listens to the Lashon Hara is worse than the person who speaks it. That's what the Gemara says. One who listens to Lashon Hara is worse than the person who speaks the Lashon Hara. Why? Because he was a bystander. He could have said something. He could have stopped it. And he didn't do anything. It is usher to sit with people who speak Lashon Hara. The events of the Midbar and the 40 years of wandering came about because of Lashon Hara, and we have to be so, so careful. When you speak Lashon Hara, it makes you feel like you're a tzaddik, right? Because the subject is being put down, and this causes you to think better of yourself. If doing a mitzvah, we've learned before already, that if you do a mitzvah, and you get haughty, and you have gaiva from doing a mitzvah, and that's bad, imagine how bad it is to do an aveira, and to feel better about yourself, and to have gaiva from that. We have to be so, so careful. Let's talk about different types of Lashon Hara, okay? One type of Lashon Hara is called Avak Lashon Hara. That means the dust of Lashon Hara. What type of Lashon Hara is that? That is when you say something that is parav. It's not bad, but it's not good. But it could be misconstrued as bad in certain contexts. So the classic example is that, let's say somebody says, you know, somebody asks about a certain family, and you say, ah, no, the oven is always on in their house. They're always cooking food. So there's two ways to interpret that. Either it means they're very generous with their achnasas orchem, and they serve a lot of food to their guests, or it means it's a family of fressers who love to eat food and cannot contain themselves and just eat all day. So depending on who you're talking to, that could be a good thing or a bad thing. So avak lashon hara is the dust of lashon hara. It's not lashon hara mamish, but you have to be careful how you're going to say it, where you're going to say it, because it could be taken in a negative way. Don't say nice things in front of a person's enemy. Don't do that. That's not nice, right? Don't go to a person's enemy and say, ah, this person was fantastic. You should have seen them in the, you should have seen them, what?
No, I like that.
You should have seen them, in that play, in that production. You should have seen them on that basketball court. You know, they're outstanding. You know the person is ready to rip them down. Why would you do that? Why would you go to them and set them up and serve them a big, easy pitch that they're going to hit out of the park? Why would you do that? You're just going to set them up to speak lashon hara. Yeah.
So I have two questions. Number one is that, you know how, like, in, like, the Torah, like, intention, like, plays a big part? It's like, what if, like, you don't know that someone hates someone?
If you don't know, you don't know. Then that's not your fault. But if you know, okay, you got to be careful.
And my second question is, you know how people always say that, like, if, like, let's say, like, Chassid Shalom, I say lashon hara about Don C, like, she gets all my mitzvahs?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah, there's a big discussion. The Orcha Sadikim said, we learned this in an earlier chapter. There's a big discussion, how come he doesn't bring it here? It would make sense to bring it here, but he doesn't bring it here. He actually brings it in another place. This is an idea from the Chovos HaLevavos, and this is a big, big discussion. When you speak Lashon Hara about somebody else, in Shemayim, their averos are going to go on your account, and your mitzvahs are going to go on their account. What? It flips. It flips, yeah.
Do you think it's true?
Yeah.
Wait, so if I ask a question about Dawson, and she gets my mitzvahs, and I get her averos?
Yeah. It's so not like a total switch. It's not like a total switch. There will be some things that transfer in some way.
It's like double. Like, I have no mitzvahs.
The way the Chovos HaLevavos frames is that you're going to get up to Shemayim, and they're going to say, these and these and these are your averos. And it's like, what are you talking about? You never did that. And they're going to say, but you spoke lashon hara about that person, and those things are going to go to you. And there are going to be mitzvahs in his account that he didn't do because they came from your account. I'm just the waiter. That's what the Chovos HaLevavos says. I'm just. I don't think it's a complete switch. There are some things, so that will transfer.
So at the end of the day, we're all like switching around. Maybe.
In some areas, perhaps, yeah. Yeah. Say again. There's a way to do it. If you want to change the tide and you want to move somebody's opinion in a different direction, there's a way to do it. But simply without context, simply getting up and saying, the person did A, B, and C, the person did an amazing chesed, you should have seen what they did for this, orphan, they went and they, did these amazing things. But the person's going to look to tear them down. They're not looking for a positive thing. If you want to change the tide, that's going to come with, sincere conversation and talking about why is this person upset at them and what led to this issue, and that's where it's going to come. But setting up positive comments, the person's just going to tear them down. They're just going to attack the person. Lashon hara is aser even if it's done as a joke, or you're making fun of somebody, says the Orcha Sadikim. Even as a joke, it's not a joke. Revealing a secret, if you were told not to share the information, is also, it falls under the category of Lashon hara as well. And the last category is rechilas. Rechilas is what the Torah says. Lo seleich rachil ba'amecha. You should not go as a peddler amongst your nation. Is rechilas specifically means to tell somebody that somebody said something about them. Okay? It's not lashon hara to say Chaim has bad handwriting. Rechilas is to say, Shmuel said, is to go to Chaim and say that Shmuel told me that you have bad handwriting. That's rechilas. Okay? You shouldn't go and tell them that somebody else said something about them in that context. Also, if a decision was made about a person, let's say, the example is used in Basin. The example the Chafetz Chaim uses in Basin. But let's take another case. Let's say you apply to a summer program or to a seminary. And let's say you didn't get into said summer program or said seminary. And now somebody who's on the committee to hire you, or who was in that position, who knew has inside information on that camp or that seminary, calls you up and says, ah, you know, I really wanted you to get in. But, you know, Mrs. So-and-so, she didn't want you in. Sorry. So that is rechilas, okay? Because it serves no purpose. It serves no purpose. And it doesn't help anybody out at the end of the day. If someone speaks lashon hara about you, so the Orach HaSidikim says, don't turn around and speak lashon hara about them. I know this is our natural inclination. Oh, they said this about me? Well, let me tell you something about them. Don't do that. Because that's nekama, that's revenge. And he says it's an ikar gadol b'Yerushalayim, a major principle in Yerushalayim to not take revenge on somebody else with lashon hara. If somebody said lashon hara about you, so then, quiet. If it's damaging your reputation in a serious way, so then fix the reputation and do what you have to do. But to go and to spit back in their face, don't do that. It's going to cause machlokas, it's revenge, and it doesn't help anybody out at the end of the day. Another principle is called haposel b'muno posel. The Gemara in Kedushin says that if you pasel, meaning if you negate other people, you say that other people are no good, you must have those faults yourself. Whatever we speak about is a reflection of who we are. If you talk sports all day, so it means that sports are very important to you. If you talk cooking all day, it means that cooking is very important to you. We talk about that which is important to you. If we speak about the faults of others, it must be essentially, to quote the famous phrase, it takes one to know one. That's what it means. If you're always picking out other people's faults, and this person is dishonest, and this person does this wrong, it means probably that you have those faults in yourself as well, and you recognize them. If a person loves Torah, they'll speak about Torah. If a person loves Chesed, they'll speak about Chesed. You will talk about that which you are familiar with. It takes one to know one. And that's often what we find here by Lashon Hara. When is Lashon Hara a mitzvah? So, when is Lashon Hara a mitzvah? So, essentially, if a person is a chota, if a person sins, and you cause other people to sin, then it's a mitzvah to speak Lashon Hara about them, so that people will stay away from them. If your intentions are not l'shem shemayim, and you only want to speak Lashon Hara to shame the person, then it's also to speak Lashon Hara. But if you're trying to stop someone from doing something bad, then that is a mitzvah to speak Lashon Hara about them. This is not a license that you should take very lightly. If you have a doubt, if you have a suffix, can I speak Lashon Hara about this person? Because I'm trying to stop something negative, you probably need to ask a shayla. I'll just put it that way. You probably need to ask. Before you go raking somebody through the mud with the intention that you're going to save the world, you probably want to find out if that's the case. There are very few times where this is a mitzvah. If people are conspiring to do something bad, you can use Lashon Hara to stop them. If someone's a Baal Machlokas, you can use Lashon Hara to stop them. Now, these are the principles.
What's a Baal Machlokas?
They always causing fight. They're just always looking for Machlokas, always looking to fight with people. Then you can try to stop them in this way.
Like you could talk about them to people?
You can talk about them to people. Again, ask a shiloh. Because it's going to stop them. It will make people not listen to them and kind of isolate them from everybody else. So people won't accept and hear what they have to say. But there are three conditions in that case. The first thing is that if you can stop that person without speaking Lashon Hara about them, you have to do that first. If there's a way to isolate them and to stop the issue without speaking about them, that's the first thing you have to do. And even if the person is a Rasha Gamor, if speaking about them publicly will cause them to leave Judaism completely, you shouldn't do it. If it's going to push them off the Derech, then you may not speak Lashon Hara about them publicly. So again, you need to know the information firsthand if you're going to do it. The speaker has to have kavana that it's for a purpose and not personal animosity. You can only relay the negative information if you couldn't have stopped the person any other way. So if a person is going to say, I have a license here to speak Lashon Hara, you need to be very careful first before you take on that license. Okay, let's end here with a few different ideas about how to work on Shmiras HaLashon, because we can sit here all night and talk about how bad Lashon Hara is, but we need to fill the vacuum with something else. How do we fix Lashon Hara? So David HaMelech writes in Tehillim, Netzor Lashon Chameira. We have to be very careful how we use our speech to guard our tongue. So the Medrash tells the following story. There was a peddler, a rachil, a person who sells stuff, who was selling his wares in the city of Tzipori, and he was shouting, who wants to buy the samachaim? Who wants to buy an elixir of life, a medicine that will give a person life? So Rav Yanai was sitting on the side, and Rav Yanai said, came over to the guy and said, I want to buy it. I want to buy, tell me, I'm interested in what you're selling. Where's this, like, you know, where's this medicine that's going to give me a long life, a good life? So the peddler said, it's not for you. You go back to your base medrash, to your shul, this is not for you. So Rav Yanai got very offended. He said, what do you mean it's not for me? I want to live a long life. So the peddler said, yeah, I'm talking for other people. You're a chashav, a rav. It's not for you. I'm not selling to you. So Rav Yanai kept on pressing and pressing the guy. So the guy said, okay. So he went over to his car. He went over to his cart, and he pulled out a Tehillim. And he opened up to the pasuk, Mi ha'isha chafetz chayim, who is the person who desires life? O of Yamu Lirasso, who loves life and wants to see good. Nitzor lashon chamera, who's fasech ha'medabim mirma, you'll close your mouth from saying negative things. So when Rav Yanai saw this, he took the man into his house, he fed him, he gave him money, he gave him something to drink, and the Talmidim were so confused. He said, I don't understand. Why are you so impressed with this guy? You say Tehillim every single day. You all know the pasuk. If you want to live a long life, don't speak Lashon Hara. It says here in Tehillim. So Rav Yanai said to his students, I did know this pasuk, but I was never careful in my heart about this. And when I used to read the pasuk, I would go over it very quickly, not realizing its full meaning. And now this person came and made it mean something to me, and now I'm going to be more careful. I didn't get it. It was a pasuk until I'm Nitzol Lashon Chomer Sesach HaMadav Yerubah. Yeah, I mean, I shouldn't speak Lashon Hara. Chavetz Chaim Heritage Foundation this, Chavetz Chaim Heritage Foundation that, this book out over here, and this movie over here, and this Tisha B'Av movie over here, and it becomes like chirping in the background. No Lashon Hara, no Lashon Hara, Lashon Hara. We know it. And there's this program over here in school, and this program over here in this shul, and we get it, don't speak Lashon Hara. And it becomes just part of the rote background, like we the Jews don't speak Lashon Hara, Jews don't speak Lashon Hara. But we need to take it seriously. We need to make it part of who we are to really consider the impact and the damage of Lashon Hara. So what is it a person should do if they want to work on Shmiras HaLashon? So he makes the following points. He says, if a person loves to talk and schmooze, then fill it with something else. If you are hardwired to schmooze, to talk, to share, so fill it with good things. Say Devarei Torah, make shalom, speak about good midos, speak about positive things with other people. There's always positive things you can use your speech for. We should get in the habit of using our tongue for mitzvos, chesed, ahava. If you simply tell yourself, I'm not going to speak Lashon Hara, you're going to fail. Because the Yetzer inside wants to do something. You want to schmooze, you want to talk. We're made to talk as human beings. So you got to fill it with something. Fill it with positive things. Fill it with beautiful stories about people. Catching people doing the right thing. Sharing beautiful news and information with your friends. That's what you want to fill that space with. You want to talk, you want to schmooze. So fill it with good things and beautiful things. There are some people who constantly speak Lashon Hara because they look for negativity in life. And this piece that I'm about to tell you, that he quotes in the Chovos HaLevavos, is for me personally one of the most important concepts in Shmiras HaLashon. And the story is as follows. There was a chacham who was walking with his talmidim, a wise man walking with his students. And they were walking along the road, and there was a dog that had died, a carcass of a dog that had died on the side of the road. And it was smelly, and there were flies around it, and the students were a bit immature, and they were covering their nose and making sounds. Oh, it's gross, it's disgusting. And they were talking about how gross this dead dog was on the side of the road. But the dog was sitting there, and its mouth was open. And the chacham, the wise man, said to the students, but look how white its teeth are. Look how white its teeth are. So the students looked at the wise man and said, excuse me, there's a dead dog here. Who cares about its teeth? So the chacham said, if you go through life only focusing on the carcasses and all the negativity, and you don't look to see how white the teeth of the dog are, you're going to speak Lashon Hara. You're going to be a negative person. Negative people speak negatively. That is the rule. Positive people speak positively. That's it. We need to go through life looking for how white its teeth are. there's not going to be a day that you're not going to come in front of somebody who is difficult, who's had a bad day, who's going to be annoying, who's going to be a pain. There's going to be things like this all the time. There's going to be friends, there's going to be teachers, there's going to be personalities. They're going to be difficult and there's going to be frustrations. If you're looking for negative things in life, there'll be plenty of things to find. I promise you that. There'll be plenty of things to find in life that are going to be negative. But if you constantly look to see how white the teeth are in every situation, you'll just be a much happier person. And you're not going to want to speak negatively because you'll focus on the positive things about people. Really, 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 this is the yisod of working on Shmiras HaLashon, to be a positive person. Negative people want to spread negative things, and positive people want to spread positivity. That's what it comes down to. Positive people don't see negative things around them. They have nothing to talk about. You could have two people go to the same chasana, go to the same wedding, and one person come out of the wedding and say, it was beautiful to see the kala, and she looked amazing, and the chasan was dancing so beautifully in front of her, and the music was wonderful, and the grandparents, he see how he was dancing with his grandfather, it was so adorable, and it was just on and on and on, just amazing. And the other person walks to the wedding and says, chuppah was started at 5:30, started at 6 o'clock, and the music was so loud, even my earplugs were falling out of my ears. And on and on and on. So they were at the same chasana, the same chuppah. What happened? Because one person is looking at the carcass of a dog and wants to find smelly, disgusting things. And the other person is looking to see how white the teeth of the dog are, to look for positive things. That is the difference between the two people. And if I could put it on a t-shirt, if we could put it on a bumper sticker, that really is what it comes down to look how white its teeth are. Stay away from people who speak Lashon Hara. It's too hard to control yourself on your own. If you sit around people who schmooze and rip on other people, you're going to sit around and rip on other people as well. Stay away from people who engage in bashing other people and damaging people with their speech. Do we understand the power of our speech and our tongue? So listen to the following medrash that is brought in Tehillim. The king of Persia was very ill, and he was advised by his doctors that he needed the milk of a lioness, the milk from a female lion, in order to be cured of his illness. So someone volunteered to go on this very difficult mission and to go bring the milk of a lioness to the king in order for him to be cured. So he said, in order for me to go, though, I need one thing, and that is, I need 10 goats. 10 goats. So the king says, do whatever you want. Go get me the milk. Here's 10 goats. Have a good time. So he goes off to the place where the lions are, goes out to the Sahara, wherever it may be, and he's with his goats. And on the first day, he sends out a goat to the lion, and she's with her cubs, and the lion takes the goat and he eats it. And the second day, he gets a little bit closer, and he sends the goat to the lioness, and she eats it, and it's said each day, for 10 days, he gets closer, until on the last day, he's like playing with the lioness, like she's a little puppy, and over time, through these 10 days, he gets close enough that he's able to essentially go and take milk from the lioness and bring it back to the king. On the way back to the king, the different parts of this man's body start to have a machlokas. Who is the Rosh Avir? Who is really controlling? Who is the genius in this situation? The brain says, I'm the one who, you know, came up with this amazing plan, and I'm in charge. And the heart says, no, it's my gvura, it's my passion. I was able to go in front of a lion and overcome my fears and to get the milk from the lioness. And the hands say, no, I'm the one who did it because I, you know, got the milk. And the feet said, I'm the one who did it because I, you know, walked there to the Sahara to get the lion and all these different things. And finally, the tongue says, guys, I'm in charge here. I'm in charge of the show here. So everybody in the body says, no, what are you talking about? You're the tongue. What did you do here? You do nothing. You just sit in the mouth and you keep quiet or you say something and that's the end of the show. What are you in charge of? So the tongue says, you'll see. You're going to see that I'm in charge. I'm the master of the body here. So they come back to the king and the guy with the milk from the lioness says, King, I brought you the milk from a dog. A kalbasa, that's what the medrash says. A kalbasa means a female dog. So the king says, are you an idiot? Take this guy and throw him in jail. Kill him. So what happened? Because the king was insulted and he sent this guy with his 10 goats and he comes back 10 days later with the milk of a dog and not from a lion. What's going on here? I have no patience for this. I'm dying. I need medicine. And you come back and play around with me. So The body's freaking out. The heart says, what did you do to us over here? The mind is freaking out. The legs are freaking out. The hands are freaking out. We were on top, and now the tongue went and messed everything up. And he's about to be executed, and the tongue says to the rest of the body, guys, you're going to see I'm in charge. So right before he's about to be executed, the gentleman says, the man says, take me to the king. I want to plead one more time on my life. So they come forward before the king, and he says to the king that, first of all, this milk, if it came from a kalbasa, from the female dog, it worked anyway. And you should know that a kalbasa is really another word for a lioness, and therefore I got you your milk anyway, and everything's fine, everything is good. And the king says, fine, let me try it. And he takes it, and he was spared, and the king was cured, and the man was spared. And the tongue says to the rest of the body, indeed we see that hachayim v'hamaves, that life and death, are biyad halashon, are in the hands of the tongue. Your tongue, who uses it for good or for bad, will take you to amazing places and bring you very, very far, or take you to terrible places and bring you very, very low. Your path in life is going to be controlled by your tongue. If you say the right thing, and you say positive things, and you build people up, and you go for chesed and mitzvos, and you build worlds of positivity, looking to see how white the teeth of the dog are, you're going to go incredible places. You're going to accomplish amazing, amazing things. All through the chayim, the life that comes through the tongue. But, chas v'shalom, if you tear people down, and you push people away, and you isolate people in your life through the power of your tongue, and you make it so unpleasant to be around, then you're going to go on a path that's going to be alone and sad and without any friends. And this is what it means, to that chayim v'hamaves b'yad halashon, life and death are in the hands of the tongue. Do we understand how powerful speech is? And if we spend more time thinking and meditating about how much good we can cause with speech and how much bad we can cause with speech, we would certainly be much more careful, says the Orcha Sadikim. So, that is the overview of the Shar Lashon Hara, and next time, Bezras Hashem, we will continue. Are there any questions? Any questions? Great.